How's it, everybody? Welcome back for another episode. You're here with me, Nick. And as always, I'm joined by my buddy, Ronald.
How's it?
Yeah, no, lekker. And you, Ronnie?
No, not too bad. Not too bad.
So before we get into the weekend happenings, I'm just going to put it right out in the beginning of the show and have a laugh at you because you are now in 10th place on the log. You are so close to being outside of the top 10, and it brings me so much joy.
You know, what's funny is you usually ask me to add my place on Super Brew, but I see you've been filling it in for me, and that's because I won page number one, the log.
This is a little karma for last week of how cocky you were with all the guys playing in our pool. So a little humbling down to 10th. Let's hope we've got a humbling down to 15th or 16th by the end of the next round.
Just tell us, where are you on the log?
I'm 280th, Ronnie, but enough about me. Let's focus on you out at the top 10.
No, it's unfortunate. Like, honestly, I messaged you as well. I said, I'm not so sure about Connacht and the Stormers. Don't know if the Stormers can go over there and do it. It's hard to go and win over in Connacht. And then they actually pulled it off, right? And then the Sharks, they let me down. And the last game. What do I forget? The last game. What was the last game?
Yeah,
Ulster, Leinster. Then Ulster pulled off a win as well. I didn't expect that to happen. So I actually got one of the calls right that I thought was risky. And then the two calls that I thought were, you know, spot on, the Sharks would win and Leinster would win, I got those two wrong. So yeah,
there was
people ahead of me now, they got those bloody calls.
There was a lot of bold chat from you on WhatsApp about Grand Slam points and how you're going to dominate this week. It didn't seem to materialize, Ronnie.
Yeah, but I'm still 10th and you're 280th.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, so this weekend, Ronnie, it would have been your speed exactly. I went to an open mic night at the Nut and Owl in Hearties, and they told us all, you know, bring instruments. And as you know, I'm one of the most talented musicians in Pretoria. unfortunately, I forgot my instrument. So I got there and everyone's got their guitars and singing and djembe drums. And I get handed two shot glasses taped together with some rice in the middle. But that was perfectly my speed.
that's something. Okay, so I wondered, you sent me a video of what was going on. Well, you put it on the WhatsApp group, what was happening there. It looked like a beanie and beard festival.
Yeah, absolutely. Beanie, beard, and shot glasses with rice in it. No, it was a lucky one. Okay. And you said you were grafting this weekend, eh?
Yeah, I worked on Sunday and did absolutely nothing on Saturday except watch a bit of a rugby. So, yeah, packed weekend.
Who knew that engineers did any work, eh?
Well, our work is to make our lives easier. So we do a lot of effort if it's going to ultimately make our lives easier and result in us working less. So
yeah, I remember them softening things up for you guys and giving you all your tests in a week so you didn't have to get disturbed by class. You know,
listen here, and I'm gonna we bring this up a lot. And yes, we had test week and engineering week and all of our test buckets together in 1 week, and oh shame we don't have to go to class. But even if I counted all the hours that I spent in class before test week, it was still more time than what you spent the entire semester without test weeks in class. So I don't understand. I still spend more hours in class than you did.
Yeah, maybe that speaks to the learning difficulties and challenges facing engineers.
Yeah, of course you. Okay, carry on.
Well, Ronnie, let's jump into the URC action from the weekend then. There was a lot going on, and it really is incredible how many spots are still open in the playoffs. But we started the weekend off on Friday night with Zebre hosting Scarlets. The Welsh side Scarlets getting a 32-18 point win against Zebre. It's only Scarlets' fourth win of the season, Ronnie, but it sees them finally move off the bottom of the log.
Yeah, that's shocking. I suppose the Sharks also only have four wins of the season, right?
Yeah, that's bad. Bad, bad.
So that just puts it into perspective. So Scarlets were at the bottom of the log with four wins, and the Sharks are close to the bottom of the log with only four wins. But yeah, so Scarlets, you know, finishing strong, trying their best to, I suppose, play for 13th.
Yeah, one spot up the log. Then, Ronnie, we had Edinburgh playing host to Munster, and this was a hell of a game. It went right down to the wire. 26 points for Edinburgh, losing at home to 29 points for Munster. And Antoine Frisch from Munster's two tries really saw them climb to the top spot on the log. And they're now 2 points clear of the Bulls in top spot, Ronnie. So very big win for the Munster men there.
Yeah, reigning champions, right? So finishing strong, finishing, you know, this is the sort of textbook performance you expect from a team. You know, they might start off slow, but to finish strong at the end of the season, I think Ireland and France should take note. You know, you don't peak too early. Peak at the end when it matters. Maybe then you'll win a World Cup.
Yeah, exactly, Ronnie. You took the words right out of my mouth.
That's what I do. Yeah, and then the next game, my favorite team, honestly the best team that South Africa has ever produced, the Bulls, a very strong side, scoring 56 incredible points. You know, every single one of those points you could chalk up as one of the best points they've scored. And so the Bulls thrashing Benetton, like I said last week, you know, I said the Benetton Bear only just beat the Sharks. So we expect the Bulls to hammer them, and that's exactly what happened here. So 56 points to 35 points for Benetton. Well done to the Bulls, will be fantastic. And they're securing a playoff spot, you know, honestly, before kickoff. And 9 tries, giving them, you know, honestly, you should just give the Bulls 2 bonus points for their 9 brilliant tries. So, you know, they did get a bonus point from that. They are, and it's crucial, right? Because we've got one round of the URC left, and you want to play for home field advantage with the URC. You don't want to travel so much up north. We're now complaining about that being the travel factor and coming into play. But the case is more to make those teams come over to play at altitude at Loftus, which that's what you really want. So the Bulls securing a place for playoffs before kickoff actually taking place. Scoring 9 scintillating tries and really working towards that home field advantage.
Well, I mean, like you say, that home field advantage, you know, you've now qualified for the playoffs. We'll get onto the Leinster game with them dropping down. It really presents an opportunity for the Bulls to have a home quarterfinal and semifinal if they remain in second on the log and make it that far. And if Munster fall, that would mean a final here at Loftus, which I would appreciate because it's right down the road.
It's down the road. And you'd have to go support my team, I suppose. That's right.
No, it would be lacquer to go there and send you videos from the stadium as your team lost to the Stormers or something like that.
Look, the reality as well, the Bulls took their foot off the pedal a bit, but they definitely had the players on their side to sort of take it over the finish line, which is fantastic to see. You know, the Bulls will definitely have to fix some of the things before the last round. 35 points that they let slip. That's a bit unfortunate to see. A bit of a worrying thing for Jake White. Kane and Moody, 3 tries.
That was impressive. That was very impressive.
I think we might as well we'll have a podcast in the future where we just rave about Kane and Curtly Aronsa, and then we'll call it quits and we'll never speak of them again because we talk about them too much. They are incredible players.
I feel like you talk about them too much, and since you're on your Bulls bandwagon these days, Ronald.
Yeah, well, Kanan Moody's obviously he's such a young player, and he's going to be such an incredible springbok for the next decade. So it's very exciting to see when he scores, you know, 3. Cameron Honeycomb, bit of a concussion from him. That's just an interesting one because we saw on the social media his comments was, it's difficult to pass that test when you're tired. So I thought that was quite funny, but yeah, I have to think back on the concussion tests back at school. And that was 15 years ago, 50 years ago, depending on who you ask. You know, that ding dong test was quite challenging to remember what they were telling you when you were sucking for air and just playing around, you know, 20, 30 minutes of rugby.
Yeah, and you actually just want to get back out onto the field, not sit there doing a test to try and get back on. But also shout out to Cameron Honeycomb. He followed punted today. So lucky to have him out there. Yeah. Johan Kruis is back from his ban. It's quite good to see him out there. And he actually had a pretty good game.
Does Rusty select him?
No.
He's been to past alignment camps.
Yeah, but as we've seen, that's not necessarily entry into the Bok fold, hey? And I think there's enough youngsters now challenging for that 10 jersey. Maybe there was a bit of a gap in previous years. But quite a few guys stepping up, like Asiya Masuku, and Marnie has stepped up and taken control as well. So let's see.
Yeah, then the Bulls have one more game left before playoff stages, and that's a game against Sharks in Durban in 2 weeks' time. So yeah, hopefully the Sharks will be fielding an understrength side because they're very strong side will have won the week before.
So I actually have an interesting proposition here, but I may come to regret this because the Sharks might feel the weakened side against the Bulls. But since we're now on opposite sides of the fence, maybe this is the opportune time for our listeners to propose a wager between the two of us, Ronnie, because I would love to see you with something like a bald head or having to grow a mustache for 6 months or something like that. So I don't know. What do you think, Ronald?
Bottle of Jägermeister and I'm down.
A bottle of Jäger. I can definitely do that. I can definitely do that. But let's hear from the listeners, guys. If you have any wager you'd like to see go on here, drop it in the comments or pop us a message and Ronnie and I will give it some consideration and then we can watch him lose when the Sharks beat the Bulls down in Kings Park.
Just for the listeners' sake, I hate Jägermeister and I hate drinking Jägermeister. Don't choose Jägermeister.
Yeah, Ronald. Then we go over to the Ospreys game. They get a victory, a 26-13 win over the Dragons, keeping their playoff hopes alive, which is quite impressive. I didn't think that they were even in the realm of possibility there until this game. But it is a tough task for them, Ronnie. They'll need a bonus point win in the next round when they take on Cardiff and a few other games to go their way to make the top eight.
Yeah, I mean, we could break down the log. We'll do that closer to the final rounds of VOC. But yeah, you're right. So there's a lot to play for. I think it's the top 11 teams all stand a chance of qualifying for the top eight. So yeah, everything to play for.
Absolutely. Then speaking about everything to play for and possibly throwing the kitchen sink at it was the Lions' victory over Glasgow at the weekend. 44-21. Also keeping the Lions' playoff hopes alive. But what a come-from-behind victory that was, hey, Ronnie?
Yeah, I also, it's a surprise against a game that I watched after the fact. You know, I didn't watch it live. And, you know, I knew the score beforehand and I just wondered, when are these points actually going to happen? And then all of a sudden the Lions just let loose. And like you say, big score, 44 points to Glasgow's 21.
Impressive. I mean, like you say, where did those points come from? Abracadabra and 4 tries in 10 minutes, the Lions are in the lead and taking victory. They really switched it on at the end of the game and to make sure that they remained in playoff contention. Also massively helping your team, Ronnie, by beating the Warriors. The Bulls were able to jump them in the log and denying them even a bonus point meant the Bulls went into second place.
Yeah, and not just that, the Lions now also stand a shot at making the top eight, right? And that's important, and not just the top eight, right? So we'll obviously look at the points a bit closer, but you know, they stand a shot, an outside shot of making the top seven, which is very important with the Sharks still having an opportunity to qualify for the Champions Cup through the EPCR final. So the Lions, you know, they've got their foot in the door.
And like you say, Ronnie, to surmise you, there's potential of all four South African sides playing Champions Cup rugby next year. That's 50% of the URC's representation making it through to that competition. So that could be really lucky to see.
Yeah. I'm proud of you. Your math is good.
Yeah, I can math from time to time. Ronnie, Ruan Venters gets a yellow card. This was a Dorp one. We spoke about it with Joe Marler as well for pushing a player's head into the ground. Then 36th minute, he gets a red card for a high tackle. Frankie Horn also getting a yellow, which meant the Lions were down to 13 players for a large portion of the game. Still managing to come back and win it, keeping Glasgow. Well, it didn't look like they kept them within check, but they did.
Now, let's talk about the Sharks' win over the Chiefs many years ago when they were down to 13 players. So, you know, when teams are down, good teams fight back when their players down. So yeah, 10 the players on the field, suddenly the slack gets picked up by those that remain on the field and everybody puts in an extra 5%. And, you know, that more than makes up for the loss. So I thought it was impressive. Well done to the Lions. I think if you are a Lions supporter, you can be very proud of your team. They're playing really good rugby. And yeah, much better than other South African sides for sure. Definitely the Sharks.
You know what I think impressed me most about this Lions victory, though, was their ability to adapt. They saw what they were doing in the first 40 minutes was not working. They weren't getting the edge over Glasgow. So they switched to a much more expansive game, and suddenly they were finding that space and managing to score those tries. And I was actually really impressed by Edwill van der Merwe this weekend. You know, he's really a live wire out on the wing as well.
Absolutely. There's a bunch of those Lions players I'd like to see back at the Sharks or to come over at the Sharks. Oh, sorry, to the Bulls. I mean, the Bulls.
Yeah, Ronnie, old habits die hard, eh?
Yeah. Then onto the game that I spoke about briefly earlier, Connacht 12 points going down to the Stormers 16 points. I didn't think that the Stormers were going to win this because the South African teams don't have a good record over in Connacht. So, yeah, look, well done to the Stormers. I did back then. It's the next two games that I got wrong. But anyways, well done to the Stormers.
I think, like you say, you know, they've got a bad record in Connacht, but I was actually really surprised to see this is the Stormers' first ever win in Ireland.
Across all sides.
Across all sides.
Well, they did draw against Leinster, and I was at that game in Dublin.
But they didn't win it.
No, I'm just saying, I was there. Stood in the corner. I stood in the corner by the winning try. I'm just saying. But yeah, Marnie Lebok. So look, he can kick when it comes down to the URC. Saved the day with his three penalties and one conversion, which gave the Stormers the edge. And they ultimately won because of Marnie's kicking.
Which is ridiculous because everyone goes on about Marnie's poor kicking performances. And yes, he struggled at the box. But then you watch something like this, and some of these are clutch kicks and difficult kicks, and he slots them over.
Why it can't translate to Springbok rugby or into other times when it's really matters, I don't know. So it's a mental game. He's losing the mental game, right? So it's not a question of skill. It's just, you know, that mind game that he's playing. But yeah, Connacht outscored the Stormers 2-1, but Stormers still managed to pull it off with Marnie's kicking, and the Stormers remain in fifth place and just missing out on a home playoff. But I quite like the fact that the Stormers are where they are, because if you look at the road to the final, the URC final, it doesn't put the Bulls and the Stormers on the same side, which means that they could potentially meet in the final, which is nice because you don't want the South African sides knocking each other out in the quarters or semis. So, but yeah, well done to the Stormers and still being in fifth place in a very competitive URC at this point.
So now that you are outside of the top 10 in Super Brew,
what do you mean outside of the top 10? I'm 10th, you moron.
You picked up on that, my bad. But, I mean, you and I debated this game and said it was quite a hard one to call. So, am I correct that you called Connacht in this on Super Brew?
No, I called the Stormers, you idiot. Did you know? I've said it like 8 times in this podcast.
I'm just checking. So, Ronnie, the hater of the Stormers, picked the Stormers.
That's why I'm so good at the Stormers. I'm so good at Super Brew. So I play with my head. A giant brain. My giant engineer brain.
Is that what the ball's at the back of your car for? Counterbalance?
I don't have a car at the back. I'm Carlos.
Ronnie, then over to the Sharks versus Cardiff game. Now, I'm pissed off here. I don't have much to say about this. I'm done talking platitudes and pleasantries, and the Sharks are downright shit in the URC. We really are. I have to admit it.
So bad.
I cannot justify you hopping fences, but I've had enough now. How did we go and lose to Cardiff? And not just lose, we got our asses handed to us. Yes, Tino Mavasere got a red card, proving very costly, and we played 60 minutes without it. But then go up to the Lions. They were down to 13 men, and they got a come-from-behind win. So no excuses. Yeah. Sharks, this was bloody shocking.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't agree more. It's happening to you now, what happened to me a couple of years ago already. So the Sharks, they're so good on paper. Their B team is so good on paper. Their C team's pretty okay on paper. You'd expect them to do a lot better than they do. What's wrong there? Every single one of those players individually is so good. It's just like a team cohesion thing. I don't know what it is. Somebody needs to take them for a lack of braai or something. Maybe the braai's just aren't good down there in Durban at this stage. I don't know.
Ronnie, over to Ulster versus Leinster. Now, this was also a surprising result this weekend because Ulster came out on top at home. John Cooney slotting a last gasp penalty to secure the win. And that helped the Bulls pip Leinster on the log. So Lions and Ulster must be your favorite teams of the weekend.
Yeah, so I don't know. Ulster, well done to them. I didn't expect this. I really thought Leinster would put a much better fight, especially at the back end of the URC, where position on the log is everything, right? So these guys are playing, are trying to secure home playoff locations, home playoffs. And Leinster's letting it slip here at the end, which is, I don't really know what it is. Is it a long season? Because Leinster's done quite well with rotating their players and sending a B-string side to South Africa. I just don't know what it is. Well, but, you know, bloody well done to Ulster. It's always nice to see Ulster performing well. The Ulster men are exciting players.
And you would have expected Leinster Oaks to put out a really hard shift in contention for a Champions Cup place this coming weekend. So, yeah, I was definitely caught by surprise in this game. But let's jump over then to the Champions Cup, Ronnie. So it's the final this weekend, a massive one. Leinster versus Toulouse. What more could you want, eh, Ronnie?
Yeah, and this is probably, you know, we could say this explains perhaps why Leinster's letting it slip here at the back end of the URC. And this is because they're preparing for the Champions Cup final. You know, it's the Leinster-Toulouse rivalry is a big one. There's a bit of history between the two sides, in the, especially in this competition. And so Leinster's trying to perform. So, you know, they're saving it here. We expect them to do incredibly well. But Toulouse is not going to be easy.
No, it's not going to be easy whatsoever. But Leinster currently sweating over the fitness of Gary Ringrose. He hasn't played since January when they beat the Tigers. So I'd be quite surprised to see him make the 23 for a game like this with no match fitness under his belt. Charlie Nuttall also out injured. He got injured at the weekend, so he won't be available. But the most interesting stat I found on this game, Ronnie, is that Leinster have won the last five games over Toulouse. So that paints an interesting picture. But as Antoine Dupont would say, yeah, they've beaten us the last five times, but they've also been in the final three times in a row and not won it. So
yeah. Yeah, right. So the most unsuccessful, the most losing team, the most losing finalists that they have ever been.
Yeah, the best second places ever. Ronnie, the Toulouse side, I mean, we know what we're going to get from them. It's going to be fast-paced, electric rugby. We've got the likes of Ramos, Dupont, Intermac. You know, it's really going to be an electric game from them. They're going to be looking to utilize the space out wide because in Leinster, you've got now Jacques Nienaber coaching there. So it's a very compressed defense, rush defense. And we know that Dupont and Intermac like to send the ball wide. So it's going to be quite lucky to see those two contrasting styles take play. And I mean, Leinster, in full credit, are an incredible attacking side. But it'll be quite cool to see how their defense manages to shut down the attacking threats that Toulouse poses.
You're right. I don't really have much more to say than that. I think you've summed it up pretty well. Toulouse, you know, they've got a great 9-10 combo, probably one of the best 9-10 combos in domestic rugby in the world, you know. So it's not going to be easy. Leinster are really going to have to do their homework, but they've got the man for the job. And like you said, Jacques Nienaber is there. He knows how to win against, how to be an underdog and win, right? So, you know, that's what it's going to come down to. Yeah.
I mean, just on the attack stats, so Toulouse in the top 14 have scored 95 tries this season so far. And I mean, that's a meaningless stat until you look at the fact that that's 20 more tries than any other side in the top 14. So very, very reliant on their attack and those big threat players that we talk about. But I'm interested now for the showdown between who the world says is the number one scrum half, who the Irish say is number one scrum half, while Faf de Klerk sits at home with two World Cup trophies.
Who is the best scrum off? Who's the best scrum off the last 10 years?
I don't know. Maybe it's not Faf because it's really hard to pass when you're holding two trophies. But
yeah. That's funny. No, but look, it has to be Dupont, right? The current best nine is Dupont, without a doubt. And I think over the last 10 years, if we exclude current players or Dupont, probably Aaron Smith. I don't see Jameson Gibson Park in anywhere on that list. Maybe the top five. Maybe the top five. But it's not him, right? I don't see it.
I could name five. It's Faf de Klerk, Cobus Reinach, Grant Williams, all five that he took to the World Cup.
That's a good answer. Yeah. Look, I'm not saying James against the Park is great, but Dupont is incredible.
Ronnie, so down to the nitty gritty then. Who's taking this one? Is it going to be Leinster or is it going to be Toulouse?
This is a difficult one, but Toulouse to win.
I'm also going for Toulouse. I think the Irish struggle with the finals mentality. I don't think Jacques Nienaber is going to be able to rescue them from that. So yeah, Toulouse for the win. Ronnie, now that the Champions Cup is out the way, let's talk about the competition that really matters the most in the world, and that's my team is in the final four. The EPCR, the Challenge Cup, the Sharks versus Gloucester.
I'm glad you said Gloucester, right? Because I've heard a couple of news reports. I think there's that people calling it Gloucester. I don't know why people do that. Bunch of idiots. But yeah, I agree. Fantastic. Sharks are in the final. They're finally in the final. It might be the competition for the B League, but they're in the final.
Ronnie, the Sharks got a narrow win over Clermont in their last game in the final or the semi-final. Siamasuku kicking 22 points for them. Way too close for comfort in that one. Was that a warning sign for them that they're going to pick it up in the final? Or, you know, did they get here by the skin of their teeth?
They got here by 1 point. We know that that's all that matters. You know, the Springboks won the World Cup by 3 points, spread over three games. So, yeah, that's 1 point's all you need. Yeah, we got there by the skin of our teeth, but 1 point's 1 point. And the Springboks won the World Cup by 3 points, spread over three games. So, 1 point is all you need. But look, the Sharks have apparently flown over. already. So, you know, they're prepared accordingly. I'd like to have sent them over EVRC just to keep them fresh. But look, John Plumtree's got a plan, and his plan is to field a well-rested, full-strength side this coming weekend.
So we look just briefly at the stats between the two sides, and you see the Sharks, they have the most tries in this tournament with 31, 256 points in total. So they are the highest scoring side in the competition. And on the reverse side of it, you've got Gloucester, who are the turnover kings, having 51 turnovers in the competition. Sharks have struggled with ball retention. It's something we've spoken about. So that trade-off between tries versus how much possession the Sharks are potentially going to lose to the Gloucester Fetchers is going to make for an interesting game, I reckon.
Yeah, Sia Masuku is going to have his kicking boots on. It's going to be very crucial. Every point matters in the final. Yeah, so look, you're right. Gloucester's incredible defense with all those turnovers. So that's not good for the Sharks. But still, 31 tries in the competition and a total of 256 points. That's fantastic to see. I only wish that the Sharks could do that in the IRC.
Yeah, that would be great if they could replicate it there, Ronnie. But I mean, we're talking now about two teams that really are on the arse end of their domestic competitions, because Gloucester's at the bottom, Sharks are at the bottom. Gloucester only weeks ago went down 90-0 to the Saints. So, you know, it's tough to predict what these two teams are going to do, because they're both performing well in the Challenge Cup, but terribly in their own domestic competitions. It's going to be a final game for Johnny May. So Gloucester's going to want to get a win on the board for him and send him off. Well, they did previously win this tournament in 2015, Ronnie, but they've also lost it in 2017 and 2018. Also, it's the Sharks' first appearance in the final.
Yeah, well, the Sharks have never lost this competition. So there's that.
Yeah, you could say they've got 1 point to prove.
But 1 point to prove.
Sharks will be without the services of Lekanyo Am. He's been ruled out today, so that's a bit of a worry. Jaden has been ruled out for a little while already. He's also not available. But otherwise, great to see both Vincent Koch and Irban are eligible for selection after going off a week ago down in Durban.
Yeah, that's good to see. So I suppose what I said earlier, full strength side. That's a full strength side minus Lekanyo and Jaden. But yeah, look, some of those players that we have the Sharks are incredible players at this point. So I'd say, you know, the guys that are coming up behind Lekanyo Am, behind Jaden, very exciting players, and I've got all the faith in them. This is, you know, it's actually amazing that we're talking so favorably of the Sharks right now because of how poorly they're doing in the URC. But this really is a completely different side. It's like two completely different franchises. But they've done very well in the EPCR, and look, I expect them to pull it off, you know, get back into the Champions Cup for next year.
So you're predicting a Sharks win in this one. Close win or big win?
1 point.
1 point. There we go. All about those one-pointers. I'm also going for the Sharks, and I think Sia Masuku, man of the match, taking it home for the boys from Durban. But just a shout-out, guys, if you are in the UK and you can make your way to the stadium, please do so. It doesn't matter who you support in South Africa. If you are a SAFA, get out there and let the boys hear that you're supporting them. It would be incredible for them to walk away with some silverware this season. Ronnie, over to the news. So Jasper Visser got red carded at the weekend in his last game for Tigers. And, you know, he is leaving the side now that the season is done. But he has the potential now to miss the Irish series because his infringement carries between a 1 and 6 week ban.
So what you're saying is we don't yet have the news out. It's set to be released at any point what the ban will be.
Correct. Yeah. So at the time of recording, unfortunately, we don't have the outcome of that, like Ronnie says, but it would be a huge loss to now not have Dwayne and then have Jasper out as well when we take on Ireland.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about it, right? To look at the players that we do have in the Lucys. There's a lot of great players. There's a couple that can step in here. It's also an opportunity for some of guys that have been invited to the alignment camp that are uncapped. You know, maybe Pepsi would be lazy, rocks 8 jersey for Pepsi. A little bit. But, you know, we've got a number of Lucys that can play 8.
Pepsi and Cameron Honeycomb are probably licking their lips at an opportunity coming their way now on the back of this news. Ronnie, Ruan Pienaar retiring. What a legend of the game. A 20-year career, debuting for the Box in 06, last playing in 2015 at the World Cup for them. But how much has he given back to Cheetahs rugby? And great to see him stepping into a coaching role now.
Yeah, like Belinda said a couple of weeks ago, it's nice to see some of these old Cheetahs players take up, you know, senior roles in management at the Cheetahs, you know, Francois Steyn and now Ruan Pienaar as well. So, yeah, Ruan Pienaar's been playing for decades now, which is, honestly, I would have liked to have seen him in the Springbok setup potentially last year just so they could get that medal, but it wasn't to be, but he's had a stellar career. The number of European sides and also some of the home franchises too.
No, absolutely. Ruan Pienaar will definitely go out as a legend of the game in South Africa and the world, Ronnie. Johan van Kraan nominated as best coach in the Prem. That's a real honor for another South African helping out the Northern Hemisphere, hey?
Yeah, like we've said this again, one of our biggest exports is great coaches. So well done, Johan van Kraan.
Yeah, that will be lucky if he could win that. Ronnie, Sharks centre Murray Koster, we did speak about him getting a red card recently. He's been hit with a 5-match ban, so he won't feature again for the Sharks this season. Damian Willemse, news coming out of the Stormers camp today that he is now ruled out for up to 4 months, which means he'll only see action likely again when the box tour in November. No game time before that, which is a real worry. He has a finger tendon injury that now requires some surgery.
Yeah, that's a little bit unfortunate, especially because Phillips has taken on that utility back role and he's played exceptionally well for us in Springboks now. He's almost become a senior of the team. So that is a real loss, I think. But again, this opens up the door to blood some youngsters or some new players or some uncapped players with one eye on winning our fifth World Cup in 4 years' time, three and a half years' time.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I mean, Damien's been the primary fullback for the box last year, but now that he's injured, I'm very grateful that Vili is still in the mix. So yeah, get well soon, Damien. It's a massive loss to both the Stormers and the Springboks. Ivan Roos, Ronnie, he's signed with the Stormers to 2027, so he's clearly set his sights on making the box side ahead of the World Cup, which is great to see a commitment back to South African rugby. But the big thing that we need to talk about, two-parter actually, Ronnie, did you see the Brumbies try against the Crusaders?
Yeah, I don't know where you're going with this, but let me hear what you're saying.
So the Brumbies take a kick for posts and it bounces off the posts. The Crusaders player then taps it dead and it's ruled foul play and it's a penalty try.
Yeah. Okay, I thought this was you're gonna be digging up some past arguments between yourself and myself here, but you're not doing that. Okay, cool. Carry on. Look, that is intentional, right? So Matt Gitto happened to Matt Gitto at some point in his career as well, and that was completely unintentional. The referee deemed it intentional that he hit the ball out, but the ball actually just was the bounce of the ball. It suddenly bounced up, hit his chest, and went out, and that was deemed that he'd done so deliberately. So it is one of those strange rules that you can't deliberately hit a ball out or out of the hands or out of the way of somebody else. So yeah, look, you can't do that, but a bit of a strange one. And yeah, I think penalty try was a little bit surprising for me, but you know, it makes no difference for me because had they just simply awarded a penalty, they would kick for post and still won the game. So yeah.
Much of a muchness is what you're saying. But Ronnie, now onto something that's been quite prevalent on social media this week is that the Crusaders have only won 2 games this season, right? And they sit in 10th place on the Super Rugby log, but they're still eligible to qualify for the playoff stages, which is madness. And that shows the weakness of that competition. And that's what everyone seems to be pointing out. Here in the URC, you've got the top 11 sides that can still make playoffs, but they've each got a minimum of 9 wins to be in that arena, whereas here you've got the Crusaders with only 2.
Yeah, I'm a little bit surprised by that. I was going to say that the competition Super Rugby looks quite fun at this stage because it is so competitive. And because the Crusaders are not doing so well, the other teams seem to all be doing better, right? But I think you make a good point though, right? If the Crusaders are down, it's not to say that the other teams are playing better. It's that the whole competition is actually down. So yeah, that's worrying if you can interpret the strength of the competition by just looking at the 7-time champions or 300-time champions Crusaders being 10th place on the log with only 2 wins and still having a shot for playoff stages. Yeah, that's a bit worrying if you are New Zealand rugby union.
No, it's definitely a worrying sign. You shouldn't be able to make it to the playoffs because all that's setting up there is a massive mismatch. For example, the Blues or the Hurricanes in first place with 10 or 12 wins versus the Crusaders with 2. And yeah, hearing the name Crusaders and calling it a mismatch doesn't seem to roll off the tongue very well, but that's the reality of the season that they're having.
It would be crazy if the Crusaders started firing at the end and then ultimately win the competition.
Imagine.
With only two pre-playoff wins under the belt, that would be upsetting.
Yeah, that would be very, very upsetting. Ronnie, then just the last one for the week, and it's the May Fokchom moment of the week. This one's going out to Angelo Davids for his try. You know, it was a pop pass from Herschel to Marnie who cut the gap so lacquer, and then a lacquer left floater out wide, and Angelo Davids scored one to get the Stormers' first win in Ireland. Marnie getting man of the match too.
Marnie of the match.
Well, guys, that's it for today's episode.
Thanks for joining for the banter and staying for the chat. May Fokchom, that was lack.
Make sure you smash that like button and subscribe on your preferred listening platform so you won't miss a moment of the madness.
Catch you back here next Wednesday.